Welcome to Least of These, where I cover the cases that need it most, because every life matters and everyone deserves justice. I'm your host, Leah D, and today I'll be covering the case of Quinique Robinson, Denisha Sims, and Winshe Roddy in Lawton, Florida. Let's get right to it. Lawton is a really small town northeast of Gainesville and just southwest of Jacksonville along Highway 301 in northeast Florida. And when I tell you it's a small town, it's tiny, with a population of just about 1,000 residents and a town that's only approximately 1.5 square miles. People tend to know each other, and many of the families that call Lawton home have for generations. It's quiet and quaint, and really not all that much happens in Lawton, usually. In the wee morning hours of March 12, 2004, the silence that normally filled the spring air was shattered, with flashing lights and sirens all centered around a home on Northeast 17th Avenue on the south side of town. Bradford County Sheriff's deputies responded to what Sheriff Gordon Smith would later describe as a 911 hang-up call, received at around 2 a.m. on Tuesday, March 12. WWNY7 News reported that on that hang-up call, a young girl could be heard screaming. The call disconnected, but the 911 operator called back and a young girl answered. The operator said, "We received a 911 call from this phone number. Is everything okay?" "No, come now." "What's going on?" the operator asked. "Come now, just come." Deputies raced to the home, and when they arrived, they found a 46-year-old man walking in the front yard with several cuts on his body. His name was Johnny Bernard Brown. As police were speaking with Johnny, that little girl who placed that frantic 911 call came rushing over. She told deputies that her grandmother and two of her other relatives were dead. She was just 11 years old, and as it turned out, she was also injured. Police discovered that she had been grazed by a bullet. Both Johnny Brown and this 11-year-old girl, who I'll refer to from here on out as T, obviously not her real name, but as a minor, her information should remain protected. Anyhow, both Johnny Brown and T were transported to different hospitals. While in the ambulance, Brown allegedly told a detective that he and the women were arguing and, quote, got into it. Brown claimed that as he was arguing with Quinique, it turned into a physical fight, and her two daughters came at him with knives, so he grabbed a gun and began firing at all three women. He said that they all ran and he, quote, went mad and continued shooting at them, then stopped firing when the women entered the room where they were found. Or at least that was one version of events as reported by the Alachua Chronicle. In another, Brown went on to say that he fired a shot and the women ran into the bedroom, but he got inside the bedroom and kept shooting. This was reported by WCJB-TV20. And let me be clear here. I don't think this was an error in reporting. I think it's a change in Brown's telling of the story. And this version of the story, the one where he made his way into the bedroom and continued firing, would later be backed up by evidence at the scene. We'll get there, I promise. The Alachua Chronicle reported that Brown was taken to the UF Health Shands Emergency Room in nearby Gainesville, where he was treated for a laceration to his arm. By 6:15 that morning, Brown was medically cleared and promptly arrested by an Alachua County deputy, taken to the jail there before ultimately being transported back to the Bradford County Jail. As for T, several bullet fragments were removed from her shoulder. Thankfully, she would go on to make a full recovery. At least physically. Back at the scene, investigators made their way into the house. They walked into a horrific scene. According to WCJB-TV20, there were three women found shot to death in a bedroom behind a locked door with a bullet hole in it. Two of the women had been found on the bed, and the third was on the floor behind a chair. It appeared to deputies that all of the victims had been hiding when they had been shot. Those three women were identified as 49-year-old Quinique Robinson, 27-year-old Denisha Sims, and 25-year-old Winshea Roddy. Winshea and Denisha were Quinique's daughters, and that 11-year-old little girl T was Quinique's granddaughter and the niece of the other two victims. Investigators would soon learn that Quinique was in a long-term relationship with Johnny Brown, the man who it appeared had just murdered all three women. In her initial statements to police, T basically corroborated the statements Johnny Brown made in the ambulance, at least in part. She told detectives that her two aunts came into the room and that Mr. Johnny eventually came inside and started shooting. The Alachua Chronicle reported that deputies found three knives at the scene, one still held by 27-year-old Denisha, another at the feet of Quinique, and a third near the door of the bedroom where the women had been found. So, was there a case to be made that Brown had acted in self-defense? He had been cut and knives had been recovered at the scene. However, deputies also found a bullet hole with a trajectory indicating that the bullet had been fired from outside the door and into the closed and locked bedroom. And as they continued to process the scene, they'd recover more evidence that suggested that Denisha and Winshea had armed themselves with knives to protect their mom, and that the women had escaped to a bedroom, locked the door and hid, and that Brown shot through the locked door and fired until they were all dead. As the sun came up that morning, the community of Lawdy woke up to devastating news. Sheriff Gordon Smith spoke to WCJB TV 20 News and revealed that he was called in the middle of the night to come down to the crime scene. As a native of Lawdy, the sheriff knew the victims, as well as the suspect, and really, so did the rest of the community. Sheriff Smith stated, "It's a sad and tragic moment for a quiet community, and everybody here from our agency in the community all know the victims. We know the suspect. We're all quite knowledgeable about who they are, and it's kind of shaken the community." He went on to say that these murders would have an everlasting impact on everyone involved, but especially 11-year-old T. The sheriff went on to say, "This is an emotional scar that will live with this child forever. And the victim's family, which is a large family, as they gather trying to put it all together. The biggest question is why, and that we still don't know." Investigators immediately knew the who. They suspected that Johnny Brown was responsible for the triple homicide. I mean, it was pretty clear. So it comes as no surprise that 46-year-old Johnny Bernard Brown was charged with three counts of first-degree murder and one count of attempted murder. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey y'all, you know how sometimes it feels like everyone else has it all together, especially when it comes to their love lives? Well, let me be the first to tell you that not everyone does. Whether married, dating, or single, the truth is most of us are still figuring it out and finding our way. And no matter where you are in your romantic journey, therapy can help you find your way, help you determine what you want, what feels heavy, and how you can take some of that pressure off of yourself. I mean, I get it. February is full of flowers, chocolates, stuffed lobsters, and of course, lots of talk about relationships and dating. It's all warm and fuzzy, but it can sometimes make you feel like your relationship, or lack thereof, is imperfect. But no matter where you are, married or dating or single or maybe just focusing on you, you're right on time, and therapy can help you find your way and see more clearly where you want to be and help you get there. Let me just say that I've been married going on 22 years now, and me and my husband are still figuring it out. Even after all this time, there are still new things we learn about each other, and even ourselves, and we're constantly trying to figure out what our next chapter holds. That's exciting, but also a little scary at times. Whether for individuals or couples, therapy is an opportunity to identify what's getting in the way of your goals. Goals for life, goals for relationships, and it could be a great way to help you remove any blockers. That's where BetterHelp can come in. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on 1.7 million client reviews. Why not give BetterHelp a try? Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. Six days after 49-year-old Quinique Robinson and her two daughters, 27-year-old Denisha Sims and 25-year-old Winshay Roddy, were found shot to death in their home, Quinique's boyfriend, 46-year-old Johnny Brown, was in court requesting he be released on bail, awaiting his trial for the triple homicide. The triple homicide that also injured 11-year-old T. After committing a triple homicide, Brown had the audacity to ask for supervised release, like they were going to let him out. But hey, I guess stranger things have happened, unfortunately. But in this case, Brown's bail was denied, and he'd have to wait it out behind bars. At that hearing, though, the courtroom heard testimony from prosecutors about Johnny Brown's prior criminal record and learned that in the commission of murdering three women, he had violated his probation on a battery charge from a neighboring county. What led to that battery charge out of Clay County? Well, let me tell you. According to an arrest affidavit, back in October of 2000, Johnny was at work when his supervisor confronted him about being late. A verbal argument ensued between Brown and the supervisor turned away from Johnny. When he did, Johnny struck him in the back of the head. The supervisor fell forward, hit his eye and lip on a set of stairs, and while he was down, Johnny Brown proceeded to hit him in the back and ribs with his fist. Brown ultimately pleaded no contest to the battery charge, and adjudication was withheld, pending Brown complete 12 months of probation with special conditions. But Johnny continually violated his probation, which led him to jail and more probation, which is why he was still on probation in the year 2024. Further court records show another battery charge from 2012 in Bradford County, but that was ultimately dropped by the prosecutor's office. Before the case made its way to trial, Brown tried to convince the judge that he had murdered the three women and injured an 11-year-old girl in self-defense. He basically claimed that the three women were attacking him and he had no choice but to shoot them. However, Judge James Kolal disagreed and ruled that the evidence didn't support a self-defense claim. And while that may be confusing, especially here in a minute when we get to the trial, where, spoiler alert, Brown was going to claim he was in fear for his life. In Florida, a person charged with homicide who claims self-defense can request a special pretrial evidentiary hearing before a judge to determine if they are immune from prosecution. If the judge determines that a self-defense claim is legally justified, the charges are dismissed right then and there, and the defendant walks free, immune from prosecution. If the judge determines the evidence doesn't support a self-defense claim, as in Brown's case, the case proceeds to a regular jury trial. This was obviously a win for the prosecution. However, before the jury would hear Brown's case, those first-degree murder charges would be downgraded to second degree. It seemed prosecutors didn't feel as if there was enough evidence to support premeditated murder charges, but they felt strongly they could prove second degree in the attempted murder charge for T. The trial began on September 29, 2025, and it didn't take long. The verdict would come in just 3 short days. Prosecutors told the jury that the three women had been murdered after an argument between Quinique and Johnny turned physical. Quinique's daughters had tried to protect their mom, and ultimately, the three women retreated to a bedroom. And Johnny Brown shot his way into that bedroom and then shot them a total of 14 times. Quinique had suffered 6 gunshot wounds, and her two daughters, Denisha and Winshay, had both been shot 4 times. Medical examiner Dr. Thomas Coyne took the stand and said that blood had been found on the kitchen floor, a mattress found in the hallway, and on a comforter where two of the women were found. He went on to say that knives were also found at the scene. T, who was now 12 years old, took the stand and recalled the events of that night, telling the jury that Johnny Brown came into the room and just started shooting. The testimony of the police officers about evidence at the scene backed up the little girl's story. They told the jury that the position the women were found in made it appear as if they were hiding, and that it also appeared the bedroom lock had been shot through from outside the bedroom door. And as we know, Johnny had all but confessed, telling officers that night that he had, quote, went mad after a fight with Quinique. And with that, it was time for the defense. Of course, Brown claimed that he was in fear for his life, which is why he had no choice but to shoot the three women. He claimed he was the one who was attacked, and through his attorneys, he questioned whether or not evidence had been moved, including the knives, before the scene was processed. They pointed out that Brown had been injured, cut with a knife, and that he had to be taken to the hospital before being transported to jail. And then his defense team did the only thing they really could do with a defendant claiming he felt his life was in danger, and Johnny Brown took the stand. Brown told the jury that he had raised Quinique's two daughters, and that he had been in a relationship with her for half of his life. He spoke through tears as he described holding Wenshe in his arms when she was, quote, little and tiny. His attorney then moved on to the night of March 12th. Brown told the jury that he panicked during the confrontation and felt like his life was in danger, partly because they were in such close quarters inside of the small home. He stated, "It was close. There wasn't really enough room. If I was out in the open, it probably would have been a whole different scenario." He went on to say, "My logical decision probably wasn't, I couldn't think. I couldn't think like that, so I was teeter-totting on, I love them, but people are trying to kill me. I love them, people are trying to kill me. Then it just went, they're trying to kill me. Like I didn't know. I didn't know them at that point." As he testified, he was clearly emotional. But when it was time for cross-examination, regardless of his tears, prosecutors didn't hold back. The prosecutor pressed Brown, arguing that Denisha and Wenshe weren't attacking him, but protecting their mother from him. The prosecutor asked, "It's second nature for a child to protect their mother, is that true?" "Yes," he answered. "To do anything they can to protect their mother, is that true?" "Yes," he answered again. The prosecutor went on, "Especially when they see a man larger than their mother attacking their mother, have hands on their mother, isn't that true?" Brown answered, "No, not just to protect, but really to know what the situation is too." Then the prosecution brought it back to the bedroom door and questioned Brown about whether or not the door was locked. The prosecutor asked, "Then they retreated into that bedroom and locked the door, didn't they?" "No," he answered. The prosecutor continued, "And when they locked that door, you had to take that firearm, shoot through the handle, shoot through the wall, shoot through the door frame to get entry into where they were hiding from you. Isn't that true?" "No," Brown responded again. On October 1st, 2025, the jury had reached their verdict, and to the shock of many, it was split. Johnny Brown was found not guilty of shooting Quinique. However, when it came to Denisha and Wenshe, he was found guilty of two counts of second-degree murder. And for T, he was found guilty of the lesser-included charge of child endangerment or child neglect. Brown would be held accountable for the murders of Denisha and Wenshe, but not for his longtime girlfriend, Quinique Robinson. Quinique's brother Kevin, along with many other family members, were disappointed in the jury's verdict. Kevin spoke to WCJB 20 News and stated, "So disappointed, to the point where you could say, I could take a life and I could get away with it scot-free." Of Brown's claims that he was being attacked, Kevin responded, "You can neutralize it when it's coming towards you. That's self-defense. When someone is retreating from you and hiding from you, that's not self-defense. That's just plain out simple murder." Kevin went on to say that he felt if family members had been called to testify on Quinique's behalf, the verdict would have been different. He said to the outlet, "I just wish the state would have given a better representation and allowed us to defend our sister." Regardless of the outcome, Kevin took comfort in the fact that Johnny Brown knew exactly what he did that night, and he was the one who had to live with it. And whatever sentence was handed down was well-deserved, because he had the opportunity to walk out the door that night, but he didn't. He also revealed that T was doing well after having testified, and that taking the stand was actually her idea. She just wanted justice for her family. And I've just got to say here, that's a hell of a brave thing for any survivor to do, and it's only even more brave to be able to do it at age 12. I hope she realizes just how powerful she is, and that her testimony played a crucial role in getting justice for her family. And speaking of that justice, it was coming. Because on November 5th of 2025, Johnny Brown was handed down two life sentences with 15 years tacked on for child neglect. He will spend the rest of his life behind bars in a Florida prison, and that's exactly where he belongs. As the family tries to pick up the pieces of the violent and sudden loss of not one, not two, but three of their loved ones, they remember Quinique, Denisha, and Winche as a fun-loving trio that were always together. Their cousin Yolanda spoke to WWNY7 News and stated, "The girls, every time I would see them out, they were having a good time. And most of the time, if I did see them out, they were with their mama, you know. They looked just like their mama." Quinique's brother Kevin echoed those sentiments. He spoke to WCJB News 20 and told the outlet that his sister was always with her daughters. He said, "I called them the three amigos. If you see one, you're gonna see the other two." He went on to say, "They stuck together, and they're always together, and they died together." And that, my friends, is all I've got for this week. Be sure to join me next Thursday for an all-new episode. In the meantime, you can find me on Instagram at least_of_these or my Facebook at @leastofthesepodcast. And if you're sick of ad interruptions, I've got good news for you. You can get all your episodes ad-free, just the way you like them, for just $2 a month. And as a member of Patreon, you'll be the first to be notified when new tiers will be launched, with exclusive episodes and a few bonus surprises. Head on over to patreon.com/leastofthese to support the show today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring. If you know something, say something. And until next time, be good to each other. Hey, y'all, I've got some thoughts tonight. Not that it matters, because Brown is going to be locked up for the rest of ever, but he should have been found guilty of murdering Quinique as well. Whatever physical altercation was going on between the two of them was bad enough that her daughters felt the need to arm themselves with knives to protect their mom. I mean, Brown was obviously a man. He was bigger and stronger than Quinique. And again, pointing out the obvious, whatever altercation occurred, he suffered a few lacerations, like to his arm, that took a few hours in an ER, wait times and all, for him to be treated and to be medically cleared to go to jail. His injuries were minor. These women were shot 16 times in total, and a fragment from one of those bullets hit a child. There's no comparison. They tried to get away, but Brown pursued them and shot through a locked door. Whatever happened between him and Quinique prior to that, in my opinion, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. If you're afraid for your life, you don't go chasing your supposed attackers and shoot them from the other side of a locked door. You get the hell out and you call 911. I mean, that's just basic. I don't buy any part of his story, except for the part when he said he went mad. Yeah, he was pissed off, and he murdered a mother and her two daughters. Two daughters he had helped raise, because he was angry and couldn't keep his emotions in check. Those two girls died protecting their mom. Does he have regrets? I'm sure. He cried all the way through his testimony. But regrets don't bring people back from the dead. And regardless of those tears on the stand, I have zero sympathy. None. I searched high and low and I still can't find it. And he should have been held fully accountable, and that means in Quinique's death as well. And he should have been held accountable for T. I don't think child endangerment or neglect or whatever the hell he ended up being convicted of is it. If you shoot into a house with a child present, I'm gonna assume you meant to kill that child. And where the hell was she through all of this? And why was he not concerned that there was an 11-year-old little girl caught up in the middle of all this violence? The fact that throughout all of the chaos, she knew how to get help is incredible, and I truly hope she knows what a hero she is. As for Brown, he can go directly under the jail and rot for the rest of forever, as far as I'm concerned. And that's about all I got to say about that. Y'all know I love you more than my luggage, and I can't wait to talk at you next week. But until then, bye, Bullfang!